Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome, everybody, to today's webinar. I'm excited to get going here. You've got Gabe Larson. I am the Vice President of Inside Sales Labs. That is our research and best practice group here at Inside Sales. And today, we're going to go tactical. Sometimes I like to be strategic, guys. Sometimes I like to go tactical. And today, it's a little more tactical. So if you don't want to, I don't blame you. You know, you can jump off. We're going to be talking about the ultimate guide to sales cadence. But I want to make sure we hit just a couple house cleaning items. So there is a Q&A box. I'd love for you to grab that Q&A box right now, right down at the bottom. Type your name and where you're from, just as we have a couple stragglers coming in. So I kind of know who we've got and who we don't have. Yeah, perfect. Let me move this around. Fantastic. Yeah, Jim, Jamie. Oh, two J's there. Thomas, Fred, Peter. Welcome, Peter. While we have a couple other stragglers coming in, I want to throw up just a quick poll question. Yeah, Greg, thanks for coming on in. Answer this poll question. Yep. We got Kristen. Kristen, thanks for joining. Courtney, Cindy. Fantastic. Yeah, guys, I want you to use that and make this interactive because cadence, if we go tactical, we want cadence to be as interactive as possible. Oh, Sevki from, Sevki, thanks for joining, man. I was hoping to actually see you guys down in Dallas a little while ago, but just couldn't make it down there. Do you have a current technology around campaign follow-up or outbound prospecting? Or outbound prospecting cadence. Yeah, you get the idea. Yes, we use a technology. No looking at technologies to help. Not a concern right now. Go ahead and submit your answer. Shauna, fantastic. Thanks for joining, Shauna. Nicole, Lori, Howard. Fantastic, you guys. Thanks so much for joining. And again, please do make this interactive. And let's get cracking here. So poll question on the screen. Do you have a current technology around campaign follow-up or outbound prospecting cadence? The survey says, look at that, 10% of people, 10, not a concern right now, 50 they use, 31 they don't. We're not going to be talking about technology today, you guys. We are going to be talking about a project I've been working on, and it's never done, but it is the definitive guide to sales cadence. I just finished about a 35-page ebook that we want you to grab access to at the end of this that kind of takes all the research we've been gathering, a lot of our best practices. Like I said, it's never done, but it's a good enough version one that I wanted you to have it. And today I want to give you a little bit of a peek. And then at the end, I've got a special offer for you if you can stick around. So we're going to go through why do we even care about sales cadences? What does some of the data say? And then how you can actually start using this information in your daily activity. So let's get into the why first and foremost. So one of the things I was so shocked of, you guys, is just this idea that the market doesn't really have a definition of cadence. I mean, some people use sequence, some people use play, some people use follow-up strategy. So one of the things we tried to do was break down the idea of cadence and see if we couldn't come up with a definition that, you know, we could actually use and have people understand. This working definition I'll get to in a second. I think it's kind of an important place to start. The second thing is, you know, why we're even talking about cadences is I travel around, and I do travel around a lot, in case you were wondering. My wife knows it. I know it. Most cadences, I mean, even in some of the books that I've seen, they're just, this is what people feel like is good. And I never want to discount that completely, but you're always going to hear me push this bridge of subjectivity and objectivity. How do we bring those two together? And today I'm hoping we cross that bridge a little more than we normally do. A lot of the questions I'm hearing reps ask without data are, how many times should I actually attempt contact? You know, what methods are most likely to result in conversation? And is there different messaging or different things that will resonate more with my buyers? And again, hopefully today we can break down some of the barriers of subjectivity and at least just show you what the data says. I'll just be the messenger. A lot of this isn't my opinion. Most of it's just kind of data. The other thing, one of the other reasons we talk about sales cadence is just reps falling in love with different communication methods. I mean, I love hearing reps say, oh man, I only see success through social selling, or I only see success through email, or I'm just a cold caller. And you're going to see in the data today that there's multiple communication methods, and truthfully, more communications, basically the better when it comes to actual results. Now, last but not least, again, playing off that subjectivity concept, a lot of sales reps think they have strong cadences, or they're actually doing strong cadences. I don't know if they know what strong means, but basically we'll see things like this right here. So this is taken from a research study. Love these guys, Topo. If you haven't heard about them, check them out. They just did a study and asked sales development reps, said, how many touches do you do per prospect? And it came out to be 15.5. We actually did a similar opinion data survey, and it came out to be almost exactly 15.4. Is that the right number, though? And do they actually do that? The answer is no and no. And so there's a lot of missing pieces, you guys, on cadence. I now want to get into the what and see if we can't cover what should you actually be doing. You know, what are people doing? And then what should you actually be doing based on data? And some of this is hot off the press. So for those of you wondering, there's two research reports I'm basically going to be citing here. And feel free to ping me after or grab me on LinkedIn if you want to dive deeper into this. I love this conversation on cadence. It's like my favorite thing. But there's big differences, you guys, on inbound cadences, and we'll get to that in just a minute, what inbound is. But generally speaking, that's following up on marketing leads. So we looked at about 9,000 companies, a couple hundred thousand activities, and different cadence sequences to try to figure out what people are doing and what they're not doing on inbound leads. And again, inbound is so much different than outbound. In addition, we flipped the coin over and looked at outbound. We looked at about 1.5 million activities and about 500,000 cadence sequences, you know, these activity sequences, and tried to figure out, you know, again, what is working, what are people doing, and what are they not doing? So not really Gabe's opinion here. This is just the data as a result from our analysis. So let's get into it. This first piece here is just the definition. And I don't know, I'd be interested, comment to me. What do you think about this definition? Good, bad, ugly? Let me read it out to you and break it down while you throw some thoughts in the comment box. And truthfully, I'd love to hear your definition if you feel like you've got a better one. I'm challenging you. Cadence is a sequence of activities to increase contact and qualification. Let me just briefly go through that as some of your I love some of the responses coming through. So a sequence, guys, think of a sequence as something that's more data-driven. It's got a little more detail than your typical randomness that we often subjectively throw down on paper. Cadence is a sequence of activities. Now, we're going to talk about it, but there are six activity types that you need to be thinking about when running a cadence. There's two main purposes of a cadence, and I think this often gets missed. The first is to increase conversations or contact rates. You want to be able to talk to more people. That's super duper important. But know that great cadences can also educate your buyers. They can qualify people and get them moving further down the pipeline than you had them before if you do it right. Now, a couple comments here. Is there a difference between a cadence and a sequence? That's coming from Mary. Mary, I mean, this is one of the reasons we wanted the definition is people, again, it's just a lot of difference of opinions on, you know, again, I'm using the word cadence. I think you could probably interchange it with sequence there, but know that a follow-up strategy, I like this definition, is this concept of a sequence of activities to increase contact and qualification. Now, Corey says, is a sequence of strategic activities. Interesting. So they're not just random, Corey. That was kind of his addition to my definition. Cadence is a sequence of strategic activities, not just random. I like that, Corey. That's actually not bad. I might steal that one from you. So that's my working definition. Now, the other thing that the study revealed, and I've got to kind of put a pin in this one, and you might be a little disappointed, but when we looked at our data, and ran some surveys. I've got a couple good survey reports out there as well on this, but there are six types of data or communication methods that you can use in order to run an effective cadence. And I feel like people aren't really thinking about all of them. So it is phone. That is six, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Phone, voicemail, text message, email, social, and mailers. Now, those are the six that we believe are currently available in your prospecting strategy. My first question is, are you using all of them? I'd love your kind of opinion in the question, the Q&A box. Are you using all of them? Yes or no? Are you just using phone? Are you just a social seller? Or have you branched out? Have you thought about text? Have you thought about direct mail in kind of your communication strategy? Looks like most people, no, not everyone is using, not tried them. No. Yeah. Not text message. You're right, Lori. Text message is, it's a little different, and we're not going to go deep into text messaging on this one. I'm going to keep this a little more high level. I think in our next webinar, we're going to go a little deeper into each communication method. Yeah, Pam's saying the same thing. No text, but all others. That's great, Pam, because I think a lot of people are not thinking about like direct mail, you guys, and direct mail. Real cool stuff coming up there. Rick, yes, but haven't in a single cadence. Yeah, that's interesting. And I don't know, Rick, if you want to have every single one of these in every single cadence. The question is for you, you know, which one of these is your audience mostly, responding to? The general research we have, you guys, when we ask busy decision makers from an opinion standpoint, which communication method they're most likely to respond to, believe it or not, direct mailers actually are the thing that they are most likely to respond to. But, you know, maybe that's not a surprise because there is some money behind that. Again, a lot of people saying text messaging, no, using phone, email, Sonia. Interesting. So those are the six methods. Now, I've got a couple people, Terry and excuse me. It was Terry and a lot of stuff coming in here, you guys. And Jim, Terry and Jim both asked about video. Is that not one of the pillars, of communication methods for a cadence? Good question. I didn't know if anyone would bring that up, but let's dive into it just real quick. What do you guys think? Should video be part of a cadence? Hopefully your answer is yes. But in our analysis, and this is still a little bit of a debate, but in our analysis, video right now feeds into these other communication methods. It doesn't have kind of its standalone option. So we've not gone as deep into video, although that is coming on extremely fast. As we've asked companies what technology they're most excited about coming into 2018, video is number one. So if you're not thinking about that, definitely do. But I took that out because, again, we literally sent out a direct mail last week with a video embedded in it. We've been doing some SMS video stuff. We've been doing, phone, email video. I think that's probably the most common. Yeah, Pam's saying they're doing it more on landing pages. So it's not necessarily its own method. It's still being embedded, but watch for that one to come on like lightning as we move into 2018. So, Eric, I totally agree. Yeah, video. There is something to video, guys, if you haven't tried it. So, and again, today we're not going to get specific into the methods. I want to, in 2 weeks, I think, dive into each of the methods, but I want you to get this structure down because for the first time in my life, I'm like, I can actually tell somebody what a cadence is based on data rather than just kind of lying to them and telling them this is what I like or this is what I think is good. So here's what the research revealed, you guys. Five elements of a cadence. So if I was going to sit down with you and your team right now, I would literally literally go through these five elements in extreme detail. And again, this is not me. This is our team analyzing this for literally the last 12 months, trying to figure out what the heck is going on with the cadence. Attempts, media, duration, spacing, and content. So attempts is going to be your total number of touches. Got it. Most people know that. The media is interesting. That's what we were just talking about. Are you going phone, voicemail, email, text? You going direct mail, email, call? What are you using, and what's kind of the sequence of each of them? Duration, I think most people get, that's kind of the beginning touch to the end touch, time between. Spacing, probably the most missed concept in a cadence. That's just the time gap between attempts. And actually, this one's got some predictability and success, which I'll highlight today. And then last but not least is this idea of content. And that is just the messaging being utilized. Now, remember, a cadence for us is to increase contact and qualification. So when I say content, I'm not referring to what you actually say on the phone. I'm talking about voicemail and email, note card, what you put in your note card. It's that type of content. Okay. Let's go through each of these. I don't want to bore you, but I want to go through them because there's some actual data to back it. Okay. We talked a little bit about this. One of the biggest differences, you guys, in this data is if anybody ever says there's a one size fits all cadence, and I probably used to do this myself. So, sorry if I told you that, but I'm learning as we go, right? More data, more learning. A big difference between inbound cadences and outbound cadences. So an inbound cadence I'm defining here is when a rep reaches out to someone who knows your company. Think marketing, they've engaged with you, they've downloaded something, they've filled out a form. When we look at attempts in that format, and again, this is looking at thousands of attempts, 4.05 is the total number of attempts per leader contact. Now that breaks down into 1.73 phone calls and 2.32 emails. Now, this is probably where you're going to kick me. One of the things we don't have great data on is mostly around, it's around direct mail, text messaging, and then social. It's just not great. We just don't have great data around it. So most of this research I'm showing you, make sure you kind of put this in through the lens of phone, voicemail, and email. That's the significant portion of the data set. So when I look at inbound leads, 4.05 is the typical number of attempts. And you can kind of see that here. Software industry does a little bit higher. Healthcare industry does a little bit lower. Interesting though, as I mentioned before, average touches per prospect, according to Opinion, is sitting at 15.5. Now, when we looked at what the actual data is, and this is again on inbound, right? So it's slightly different. The average was at 6.6. And actually, I took it a little one step further and looked at the median. Not that some of you care, but there was some real outliers. So what people are actually doing on leads is at that 4.05. And that is, look at that, you guys. I mean, from what we think we're doing, 15.5, versus what we're actually doing, that's like a three times different. Isn't that funny? I think I go to the gym three times a week, but I don't. That is such human, it's just, my goodness, that's kind of the human element behind it, right? So that's one, I think, interesting piece here. Couple questions coming in. Do you have the time frame that these attempts were made in? And Corey, that's coming from Corey. Yes. So I'll get to that in a minute because that kind of fits into the duration. Like, what is the average duration, Corey? So I'm going to put a pin in that at the moment. Ed is telling me my phone... Ed is telling me whenever I'm getting text messages, you guys are hearing my phone buzz. I'm sorry. I'm trying to hide it. So sorry, Ed, if that continues to happen, I'm trying to turn off my buzzer there. Let's go to just a couple more. Lior said, is the average number of attempts in general or an average number of attempts before contact or conversation? Ah, great question. Thank you. Again, this is always before conversation. Once you hit conversation, we are out of what InsideSales.com refers to as a cadence, because again, the definition of cadence is to get a conversation. So everything I'm saying doesn't include, if I actually get a conversation, Lior, cadence is gone. We're done. Or have I just stopped? Have I only called that person a couple times and emailed them a couple times and I never had a conversation? Okay. So great point, and I hope everybody kind of got that. Pam. Okay. Yeah. We use LinkedIn very heavily and have seen on average for connecting in the third touch. So, unfortunately, Pam, I mean, we're actually doing some cool things with LinkedIn. I just don't have a lot on it. They've just not opened up enough of their APIs. I did a real interesting test. If you want to hit me up after, we sent about 200 LinkedIn in-mails versus 200 LinkedIn in just request connection with the exact same message to kind of see how those performed against each other. I've been doing some stuff, but it's more isolated, Pam, on social. So you'll have to hit me up probably after to kind of dive into that. Guys, I love the questions. Keep them coming. It looks like some of you are hearing my buzzing. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know how to turn this off, and I'm so popular right now that it's a problem. So cadence isn't usually associated with inbound. Eileen says, isn't usually associated with inbound. I would bet that Topo is measuring outbound cadence. Great question, Eileen. So I'm pretty sure on this, I mean, cadence is so much different on inbound than outbound that I'm pretty sure this stat right here specifically from Topo is for their inbound. So I wanted to do a more direct comparison. But yes, you'll absolutely see, and I'll try to call it out, a lot of differences in outbound versus inbound. But I do believe you should be thinking about an inbound cadence and an outbound cadence there as well. So let's get to kind of the crux of it, you guys. When it comes to optimal cadence for inbound, following up on leads, you're going to be kind of in that up to 10 spot, with your sweet spot being around 6. You can see a little bit of a graph there. You kind of hit a nice threshold, nice contactability at 6. Now, this one I say up to 10 is because you really still see some good value in that. It doesn't mean you can't go over 10. That's one of the things people hit me and they say, well, what if I wanted to do more than 10 attempts on an inbound lead? It's not necessarily a bad thing, but know that your conversation, your ability to have conversation starts to decrease more and more. And I'm going to show you some more graphs on that. So Eileen, I think this will kind of go with your thought. That was all inbound, guys. That was all what's going on with inbound leads. Let me just flip the table on you and say, forget about that for a minute. Let's go outbound for a minute. This is when you're reaching out to someone targeted, when you reach out to someone who doesn't, quote unquote, know your company, right? Now, this is from our data set, meaning when we just asked people, we asked over 1,000 companies and said, hey, we want to know what your cadence strategy is. We ended up at 15.4 total touches in the average cadence. And you'll notice still phone and email pretty heavily dominates that, right? So 4.7 phone calls, 4.6 email, you got 2.9 voicemails, 0.7 text. So almost nobody's using text. And I'm getting a couple of you asking, you know, should I be thinking about text? I mean, guys, cadence is always about being different. That's why direct mail is killing it right now. So if you're not thinking about text and maybe how you can use that, especially on inbound stuff when people opt in, you probably should. Social, again, definitely coming up to almost two of the 15 touches. And then you see direct mail, again, very few people using it, kind of to play out the bottom. So that's, again, using opinion research from InsideSales.com, thinking about an outbound cadence. Now, when we think about an outbound cadence, and we studied 500,000 outbound cadence sequences, the typical number of attempts was 3.5. So interestingly, an inbound cadence, people typically will give another touch or so. On an inbound cadence, we're sitting at 3.05 on average. Again, that's looking at 500,000 cadence sequences. When you think about this outbound cadence, you guys, I don't know if you can see that graph. That's kind of small for me, but this was interesting. I had been taught that you should go really hard on people and you should get up into that 15, 20 touches. I don't know if you guys have heard that. I'd love to know if that's kind of been the story you've heard. You know, make sure you get 15. And truthfully, I've thought that that was, you know, again, that's kind of what I've done. I've been teaching that myself because we've actually seen some goodness around that at Inside Sales in the probably in the 10 to 15 touches. But notice overall, your optimal number of outbound touches is actually up to 6. That's kind of, and with your sweet spot being right in the middle there, right? Number 3. Notice as you get more and more, it's not necessarily terrible. This is a capacity question. Your contact, your ability to have conversations, your success rate is just, it's dropping pretty dramatically. So I throw that out there as an optimal kind of in that up to 6, which is different. That's totally different than what I'd been I just think what the general market's been thinking about. And again, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. It's 500,000 cadences we've looked at. Now, this doesn't include, remember, social, doesn't include direct mailer. So this is just for phone, voicemail, and email. So I'm seeing a couple of you say that. And yes, you're absolutely right. So that may give you another couple touches and get you into that more 10 mark there. Let's hit a couple questions because we've got some people coming in here. Is this the average that people actually do? So the average, Corey, that people actually do is that 3.05. Looking at 500,000 cadences, 1.5 million activities, that this is what people actually do, 3.05. What I'm telling you the data says leads to more conversations. You can see it here in this kind of small graph, up to 6 attempts. Keep the question coming, guys. This is fantastic. 8 attempts, but 3 is our magic reach. Number set spot. This is coming from Pam. 8 attempts, but 3 is our magic reach. So she kind of, and I don't know, Pam, if you're agreeing. So the data says, you know, up to 6. You can see that 8 gets a little bit lower there, but she's either agreeing or saying they kind of go with their own version and find that 3 is it. Oh, I think Nicole's probably putting the dagger in here. Why do you think response diminishes with more attempts? This, Nicole, when there's a good presenter and they don't know the answer, they do this. What do you guys think to that? Why don't you, why do you think the diminishing of returns there? I'm going to give you my quick answer, Nicole, and then I'm going to maybe give a couple responses here. But one thing we're seeing, you guys, is in the market is because, and if you remember, almost 50% of you had a cadence tool, like some sort of cadence tool. We're getting the idea of number of activities, and people are being bombarded, I think, in a lot of cases. What we're not figuring out yet is quality. How do I make my cadence more qualified? How do I make those emails better? How do I make those voice messages more powerful? That's completely anecdotal, Nicole. I'm just showing you what, you know, 1 million data points says. So Lior says law of diminishing returns. Like people see it and then they're kind of done with it, you know. Maybe wrong method or wrong content. Interesting. So there's a couple ideas to kind of noodle on there. Let's continue. Whew. So, and I don't mean to belabor these too much, you guys, but again, these 5 pillars, they're really great to kind of figure it out as you go over time and build your cadence. I would literally sit down with your reps and kind of go through this one at a time. A lot of people are saying message being diluted. I see an email after I see it a couple times. It's like, this one's done. I actually put it to junk. That's what Tom says. You're going to junk. So I think those are truths, on some of those attempt things. Can you tell us, great question, Corey. Can you tell us about the types of sales, product, size of deal, et cetera, that this data is from? Good question. I'm going to try to highlight that a little bit more, Corey, as we go out. Because truthfully, when you're looking at, 10,000 companies, I can tell you right now, I've got, in that data set, I had most of the Fortune 500 in it. I had everything, in the 500,000 cadence data set, 1.5 million activities. Also, I got everything in there. And me and you may need to talk a little bit more after. You could ping me after, Corey, because as we broke things down, there's a couple big differences in cadence. And Corey, I don't want to go too far, but I'm glad you brought this up. Inbound cadence versus outbound cadence, you're going to get some real differences in there, in what people are doing and in best practices. If you're transactional, meaning you have small deal sizes and short sales cycles, you're going to have a completely different cadence, or a very much a different cadence than if you're relational, big deals, long sales cycles. Corey, I'll try to highlight some of that, but what you're seeing right here is an aggregate of literally, 10,000 plus companies. And so it's like, yeah, I've got minnows, I've got Fortune 5, I got them all in here. And so take this a little bit with a grain of salt. If you and I want to go offline, I could give you some of the breakdowns by industry. We always see big, big differences in industry, and also by type. So totally agree. Thank you for bringing that up. Inbound. Okay, let's go through media. And inbound cadence is when a rep reaches out. So let's look at some of the media on the most common elements of a cadence. Was just a single email. Most people were just emailing inbound leads. That's kind of your default. Now, some of you are, and one person just jumped right on it and asked, is this including marketing emails? Great question. This is not including marketing emails. Now you say, how did you do that? Painstakingly. Did we get them all? Potentially not, but this is focused on sales. So if your marketing team is sending leads 100 emails a day, the design was to take this out. So these are some of the patterns that people were using on inbound. The most effective one was actually this, the call voicemail email. And you'll see why in just a minute. This is the one that kind of brought the best results from a success standpoint. Here's a couple other tidbits on inbound. Over half, 52% of phone calls had a voice message. So a lot of people still using voice message as a methodology. But I want to hit outbound for just a minute. Outbound cadence is, again, kind of when a rep reaches out. Slightly different than I'll bring inbound and outbound together here, you guys. So when we looked at outbound and the three communication methods we had data for, phone, voicemail, and email, you can see that people were predominantly using more phone than email. I don't know if you agree to this. I was a little surprised. I thought this would be closer to a 50-50 just in some of the opinion data we have, but this is kind of the breakdown we saw that reps were using overall. Look at this, though. Really interesting. If a cadence only had one method going outbound, 9.5% success rate. Two methods, it jumped to 22.5. And then as you went to three methods, it went to 25.1. So using three methods, you have 165% higher success rate than using one method. So again, if you want to be a cold caller or just an email marketer or just, a social seller, I think this is a pretty good data set to say when it comes to media, find a way to use multiple methods, because you're going to, you're going to see a lot more results in that. So again, Lior just mentioned, hey, I'm very surprised to not see social. Isn't that a big part of kind of the outbound outreach? I think it is, Lior, especially if you're working strategic accounts. But again, it's not that I didn't want to include that, Lior. It's just we didn't have that data set. We tried to pull it. It's just not widely accepted right now. We just don't have a lot of that following into CRM. So it's not that you shouldn't be surprised, because I didn't have that data in the actual data set, Lior. Good. Okay. Let's go into duration. Let's keep moving here. But appreciate the questions, you guys. Duration and looking at inbound. So the typical duration on an inbound cadence was 4.89. 4.89, that's the number of days for a total cadence to last. That's, again, first touch to last touch. Now, that's on inbound, right? That's on inbound. You can see software was a lot longer, transportation fairly short. Now, I'm taking here the median, which is 4.89. Now, if you look at this, what people thought they did for an actual duration versus what the median was, again, was quite a bit different. So most people in our opinion research said their cadences last up to 30 days. And we see that on an inbound lead, again, that was more like 5 days. We find optimal, you guys, on inbound to be up to 10 days. Now, that was also a little bit surprising to me, but I say up to because not necessarily shorter is better, but you're going to sometimes pack more activities into those 10 days, and so that's not a bad time frame to kind of be sticking to on duration. When it comes to outbound, oh, Jerome. Hey, man. How are you? So Jerome just said, hey, are you going to kind of discuss AI cadences as an alternative option? We're looking at testing it out for some of our digital leads. We are thinking of testing, you know, this versus plays. Just curious if your research went into that. Let me hit that real quick, Jerome, because one of the things we're finding is just certainly how can AI fit into, I mean, how does it fit into cadence and does it? One of the things we're learning right now is that it certainly has a big impact in conversation rates in two key areas. Number one is your ability to send an email. So what I mean by that is I'm randomly sending emails when I want, but if AI can figure out when is somebody actually engaging with email and it sends it at a more optimal time. Jerome, you and I can talk off base. We actually have a big study coming out that dives really deep into that. We've been running internally for about the last, call it, what is it, maybe 3 to 6 months on trying to figure out kind of the difference between me sending an email versus AI sending an email and the ability to boost my cadence success. Short answer, AI is winning. Same thing when it comes to phone calls, optimal time, but also optimal phone number. I choose a phone number, may not be the best phone number. If a system can recommend to me a different phone number, Jerome, those are two kind of low-hanging fruit we're finding where AI and data can come into a cadence and really, really help. And I don't know if that's your exact question, but that's kind of where I was going. Jason, good question on the 10 days. Is that including weekends? That is. That's just 10 overall days. I'd be interested to kind of know what your opinion on that, Jason. To me, that seemed like that was pretty short. But again, I mean, guys, I mean, one message that kind of came out of me from this data is, you know, maybe short and sweet isn't as bad as we kind of thought. I love when people go recycle. They run somebody through a cadence for a couple of weeks, and then they recycle them for a little while and then bring them back hard with a different message instead of letting it go for 3, 6, 9 weeks, et cetera. Let's look at the duration here. When we compare the durations, no problem, Jerome. Jerome and I have been talking a lot, so keep them coming, Jerome. So again, outbound cadences, duration is at 29.3. Median of what people are actually doing is at 20.8. The question is, what is optimal? Look at this. This was fascinating. So I thought it would be significantly different than inbound versus outbound, but notice, and guys, this is like data fresh off the press. I mean, if you called into InsideSales.com and you asked somebody about this, I bet they probably wouldn't even know. I mean, this is literally, this research report is coming out next week, but looking at these outbound cadences. So 12 days there. Look at the success rate if you keep your outbound cadence under 12 days versus over 12 days. It's not that it's bad. I mean, these are still decent numbers over 12 days. What we're talking about is optimal. So part of the things you got to figure out is what is your capacity model. Let me get through the last of these, you guys, and then we'll get into a couple examples. Spacing here, one of the most missed. I've asked a lot of sales reps, what do you think of spacing? Most people go in the range of 1 to 4. That's where they think they should be. Let's look at what the data says. So the typical spacing, again, comes out to be 4.23 days on an inbound lead. I can tell some of you are like, oh my goodness, this guy's like way too much data. I'll get to some more fun stuff here in just a second, guys. But this is fun. I mean, this is interesting. Look at this. We're finally figuring out what the heck's going on with cadence. But 4.23, but notice on an inbound lead how it significantly jumps. So between touch 1 and 2 is significantly shorter. It jumps a little bit more from touch 2 to 3, and then it basically persists so that it jumps to almost an average of a week. So it's hard to say what the average spacing is on inbound, because you notice that it's short and then gets longer. When we asked people, they said their average duration was, again, 1.9. Median duration we found to be 4.23. You probably can't see it in this graph. Dang it, I needed to make these graphs bigger. But interestingly, when it comes to spacing, 2 days is kind of the number, and I say up to two. And there's a lot, there's a good reason. We're seeing more and more this concept of instant gratification and top-of-mind awareness. If you wait 3, 4, 5 days between touches, I'm like, I don't remember honestly what I was doing 4 hours ago. I don't think I'll remember what I was doing 4 days ago. And a good cadence educates. So if you're doing a breadcrumb trail, 2 days is kind of where you want to be on inbound, and you'll find that on outbound, it's actually fairly similar. So notice a little bit longer, average duration 1.9, what people thought on outbound, it was actually at 4.5. And then again, from an optimal standpoint, and if you can see this graph, up to 2 days, that's, you just have a better success rate there. It's not that success is terrible when you're at 7 days, but it's, you know, I mean, it's just significantly lower. So something to kind of consider. Last but not least here is content. And a couple interesting things on content. We've been studying a lot of emails. You might not find this interesting, but the typical word count of a prospecting email fell at 362 words. That's a lot. I had three people immediately jump in on the Q&A and say, really? 362 words? Yeah, that's a lot. Maybe some marketing guys kind of slipped in there. Maybe marketing helped some of these people build that. 59% of prospecting emails contain a link as a call to action. 42.8% of voicemails were over 30 seconds. And I'm just giving you a couple highlights here. When we look at best practices, you guys, and truthfully on inbound and outbound, this is a little more difficult. One that's very much holding true, if you are using voicemails under 30 seconds, is still absolutely holding true. This email one's getting interesting. And you're, it's a little bit general under 300 words, but big debate right now. A lot of people want to go extremely short, extremely simple, and having some really good results on it. But a lot of people are going with long form emails and having some great results on those as well. So I don't have a great answer, but we did see about that 300 in general is where you probably want to be under. But if I'm you, I'm testing some long form emails as well, because I'm seeing people do surprisingly well with it. Let me sum up real quick. So if you're an inbound rep, this is what you're doing, and this is probably what you should be doing. You're at 4.05 attempts, probably should be more in that 6 to 10 range. You're probably just more heavy on email, probably want to get in the call, voicemail, email, bring some other methodologies in there. Again, I'm a fan of others. Duration, you're at 4.89. Want to be watching that up to 10. Spacing, you're at 4.23. Want to be up to 2. And then content, you're at 362 and about 23 seconds on voice messages. And you want to be under that 300 and then under that 30 second on voice message. If you're an outbound rep, just to sum it up here, you're at 3 attempts. Probably want to be more. Ooh, that's a typo. I apologize here. Just this one's a typo. Good. You want to be in that 6 range. Apologize. So you're at 3 attempts up to 6 there. Again, you can certainly go to 10, but you'll see some diminishing returns. Media, it's most heavily going to be, again, just maybe a dial, but you want to get more methodologies in there. Duration, get up to 12. Spacing, keep it at 2. And then again, some of those content pieces. So let's end this here. I know some of you, that's a little bit long, but I find it fascinating to finally look at this through a data lens. Let's just look at a couple examples of cadences, and I just want to break them down with you. Tell me what you like or don't like about a cadence. This is an actual cadence from an actual client of InsideSales.com. Send me your cadences, you guys. I collect cadences now. I hang them on my wall. If you want my feedback or opinion, you know, please let me know. I'm going to show you something we have called Score Your Cadence here in just a minute. We'll actually score how good your cadence is. So you can see that in just a second. But tell me what you think about this cadence real quick. Good, bad, ugly. I'm going to give you a couple ideas. No, I'm going to wait just 1 second and see what I get here. Oops, I lost you. There we go. Jerome. I mean, I'd love to go deeper on some of this stuff with you, Jerome. Some of this is new, so some of those guys may not even know from Inside Sales what I'm talking about, but some cool stuff here, and actually more. I had to cut out about 50 slides to try to keep this under an hour, and I'm already 45 minutes. Okay. Some people are saying, let me just go through a couple of these ideas, feedback on this particular cadence. I don't know if you can see it. So strengths, people are saying, you know, I love the idea of leading with email. Interesting that it goes so long. Tom says, where is social? I love that, Tom. Lori added that as well. So this is an actual cadence, and I'm just going to break it down real quick. I mean, guys, it's way too long. This is one of the problems we're seeing. We're not marketers here. A marketing person can do a drip campaign for 77 days. I'm fine with that. We need to prioritize our stuff. So you got to go down. Now I know it needs to be, this is an outbound, by the way, this is not inbound, this is outbound. And they went 77 days. That's wow. Notice their spacing, right? The funny thing is it actually, they do, I'm seeing a few of you knock this out. The idea was to basically send an email, find a contact, send an email, and then a week later do a, start kind of your cadence and do it every Tuesday. The problem was, if you're hitting the same person the same day every week, you may have some real good success with that, but you may have some real bad ones. And so that was kind of a weird thing. Love the social, don't like the length of it. I love that they've used phone, voicemail, and email, but I'm a big fan of kind of mixing and matching there. And then again, you got to watch the spacing. I think you got to bring that down into something that's just more reasonable. Okay. we got some people saying this is annoying, way too long. Wonder what the success ratio was. I mean, it wasn't, you know, truthfully, Pam, to their defense, and this is again the debate with some of the stuff I just went through. I'm trying to tell you what's more optimal, not necessarily, you know, if you go over some of these quote unquote optimal ranges, I still think you can have success. You may have a slightly different audience. Again, you're looking at literally millions of aggregate data here. So if you're focusing on dentists, you might have a little bit of different kind of approach that works. But these guys, to their credit, Pam, didn't do too bad on this. They've switched it up since and done better. And I think that's the key. Here's another one for you. Let's look at this. Kind of give me your quick feedback on it. Example two, this is going to be a transactional outbound. So the other was relational. So that's why I said I like relational leading with email. It warms them up because they don't know about you, right? So you kind of warm them up without marketing's help, maybe get a social, get an email touch in there, then hit them with the phone. Love that approach. I think that's really smart on relational outbound. Now, let's think about transactional outbound. This is small deals. This is what Corey and I were talking about earlier. Small deal sizes, fast sales cycles, etc. Where does your mind go there? Tell me what you think of some of these. I keep switching back and forth on screens. Corey saying, do you think having three methods on the same day is the best? What about separating methods over a couple of days around day seven? Interesting. So Corey, I think this comes back to a little bit of the conversation you and I were having on the type of deals, the type of go-to-market motion you have. So if you're inbound transactional, Corey, you should see what I tell my team to do on inbound leads that come in that are high prioritized. I call them sometimes. I typically try to have them like three times phone call on day one, and maybe drop a voicemail and an email in there. That's like five touches on day one. Well, they came to me, they're high quality. What the heck? You know, I'm going after them crazy, you know, crazy style. Now, if we're talking about relational outbound, we do see, and man, I almost put this in, Corey, but this is too many details. But one of the things that we found to be the most effective within cadence is to send an email and then do a phone call, typically within 1 hour after that email has been sent, especially if there has been engagement. Pairing the different modalities can have an extreme effect on your ability to have more conversations. And so without getting too deep into it, Corey, I am a fan of doing like a phone call and an email, or an email and a phone call on the same day, or doing a phone call with a voice message. But you've got to kind of mix and match. You saw that cadence we did above where it was always a phone call, a voicemail, and an email. Blah. You know, it gets weird. So guys, here's a couple thoughts on this one. I like kind of the first 3 days, email, phone call, voice message. This is transactional outbound. When you're transactional, I like to go with aggressive communication styles. I think the phone plays more of a role in transactional elements because we're not trying to warm people up. We can typically get people easier. It's not a bad mix up here on day two, day three, day four. I'm not a huge fan of the way this ends, just with an email and an email. I still think social can apply in transactional, so I'd probably throw one of those in there. And then I certainly would end with, I think, a bang on a phone call there. Let's look at the spacing. One, two, to day three, to day four, to day seven. Not bad. Not too bad there. Again, that Thursday to Tuesday gets maybe a little long, but I think they're onto something here as far as spacing goes as well. Little short on the duration. What do they have? 9 overall touches. So yeah, not too shabby. Couple quick comments on that. Let me see if we got anything else. Eric, I love the durational as well. Eileen, I like the email, then call and leave a voicemail referencing the email. That's kind of what I was referring to. Eileen, it's just that combination of being able to mix and match that. But I'm not every time do you leave a voicemail, should you leave do a voicemail, you know, pair those together. I think you want to mix and match it. Corey, agree, we have inbound transactional as well as outbound transactional. We split methods over days but group them together. Phone call, voicemail, follow-up email, day two. Yeah, Corey, I'd love to see yours. Again, when the rubber meets the road, it's interesting to see. And we do need to get, this is the one thing I love about this study, is we're finally getting to a place where we're not just measuring is phone call good or email good. We're actually starting to measure the sequences themselves and determining is this sequence the right sequence, right? And I think that's where we want to get. Instead of just looking at, again, individual communication methods, we want to go a little bit deeper. Last but not least here, you guys, and then I'll kind of wrap this up. Example 3, let's look at this. Give me your quick feedback. And again, these are real. You'll find this in this one in a book or the last one in a book. These are real clients. I didn't make these up. People just sent them to me. So what do we have here? This is a transactional outbound. Why don't I have an inbound in here? Should have had an inbound in here. That's too bad. Next time, I guess. So this is, again, transactional inbound. They've got 10 overall touches. Looks like the spacing. This one's tight. This one, look at this. This is a 5-day overall, 1-day spacing. So they're going pretty aggressive on that with 10 touches. Transactional outbound. Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. It is somewhat aggressive. Let's see. Leading with email on transactional, I don't love that point. What do they have? They have a total of 1 phone call in that. No, they have 2 phone calls. Yeah, 2 phone calls. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they went way heavier on the email and kind of social. I feel like phone call got a little pushed down. And again, on transactional, I like to see just more aggressive. I think it's where you want to go when you're talking about short sales cycle. You don't need to warm people up. Let's get in, kind of get out, get going. The length, again, you guys, 5 days, even on transactional. Again, this is a part of your capacity, but I do like that kind of 2-week, you know, that 12-ish plus days. If you're going out, but it is transactional. So if it is relational, I'd push even maybe the 12 a little bit more. However, on the, if it's relational, I do kind of like that 10-day mark. So, look, there's an art and a science. One of the reasons I wanted to put these here was to kind of show you, look, there are some tried and true principles, but there's also a lot of art, and you've got to kind of make that out in your head and figure out what works best for you guys. Okay, so let's move into this Q&A. Eric, that's a good question. Christopher, we got a couple questions coming in. I'm just going to throw this up here, you guys, just as we start the Q&A section here. What is your biggest pain point regarding cadence? Is it that you felt like you didn't know best practices around cadence? Hopefully, we helped a little bit today. I believe I'm going to do a webinar in 2 weeks where I'm going to go deep into, now that you know the structure, let's go into what is the best practice email look like? What are best practice voicemails look like? What are best practice mailers look like? We'll get into the actual elements, but I wanted to get that foundational piece. But what is your biggest pain point? Don't know best practice around cadence. No technology. We kind of hit that one. Sounds like that's not a problem for most. No visibility into which cadences work best. Now I'm gonna leave that up for just a second. So Eric said, "Hey, I had to jump off for a second. I was I was wondering how many outbound calls should be made on average." Now we've moved a little bit away on this particular one, Eric, with phone calls, and we've looked at it more from a sequence standpoint. So what I can tell you, and Corey made a good point, if you're transactional and relational, these numbers will differ a little bit, but think if you respond to inbound leads, you typically want to be in the 6 to 10 range total activities. If you're outbound and you're going cold to somebody, you want to be in the up to 6 range total activities. I actually do know, Eric, I didn't present it here on what the mix potentially should be. I do know. I just didn't include it. You'll need to hit me up after, Eric, if you want to go deeper into that. Because we've been actually studying just what cadence sequences are working better. You know, do you go phone, email, social, etc. But I didn't include it here. Christopher, so he was just saying feedback on the last cadence. So 2 emails in 1 day, no call until 4th attempt. I agree, Christopher. That was a little bit odd. The sample days don't match up with the number of days in the cadence. That could be true, Savvy. I don't know who put these slides together, but they're fire. No, just kidding. I did most of them. Good catch, though. I think I know what you're talking about, Sevki. Okay, so biggest problem is, ooh, interesting. Some of you said don't know best practices. I think that's true, but not a visibility. I think you guys are right. No visibility into which cadences work. I love that. We're kind of just guessing and shooting it at the dark. We're just moving, guys. This is our first big movement into this, and I feel your pain there. So I want to make this offer for those of you who are willing to kind of stick it around. I'm showing you something here. This is called Score Your Sales Cadence. It's built off the data. You can use the link right here that I'm showing you now. Click on this button. Send me your cadence. You basically fill out a survey. It's like a couple minutes. I'm going to get that. I'm going to run it through our engine of kind of what we just talked about, some of these best practices. And then I'm going to spit you back a little bit of a report to tell you if your cadence, again, according to quote-unquote data, is good, bad, or ugly. And I think it's a fun next step for those of you who want to kind of dive into it. Score your sales cadence. Use the link here. And I will be offended if you do not add me on LinkedIn. If you do not, I've literally told like 3 of you to continue the conversation with me. And as a side note, for those of you who fill this out, we will be sending you my definitive guide to sales cadence, 40 pages of nonsensical cadence talk from yours truly. So grab this link, fill out your cadence, and I will send you my definitive guide to sales cadence version 1. Again, subject to change. But guys, thanks so much for joining. Let me just hit a couple questions that I've missed and some that are coming in. If you want to stick around, feel free. Certainly appreciate your guys' time. If I know if you do need to jump on to the next thing, I know I do, but I got a couple minutes. So we got Don actually said, can you kind of reiterate, well, not kind of, but go back to just the definition of cadence and why is cadence affect qualification rates? That doesn't seem to, is it link is blocked? No, that can't be true. Is that right? Let me try that, Jerome, real quick. Oh, I got through, Jerome, but I'll send this. I'll make sure. In fact, I'm going to get this link, you guys, and I'm just going to send it out to the whole group here. Let me see if I can do that. Just kind of a send all, and I'll see if I can answer some of these questions. So Don was just saying, hey, what is the here it is, Jerome. I'm sending it to you now, and I'm going to send it to all just in case that link wasn't working, you guys. Yeah, Don, apologize. Why is qualification included in your definition? I mentioned it at first, Don, if you missed it, but again, if you do a cadence and you tie the activities together, the emails have the same thematics, the voicemails have the same kind of messaging, you start to educate people down the process, you can actually help them become more qualified. And so cadence isn't just about conversations, it is also about qualifications. We got John kind of jumping on, I think, what Corey and I were talking about. Do you see a lot of differences between industries in some of the stats that you provided? Yes, absolutely. So, you know, optimal times to call for dentists are not going to be the same for tech companies. You know, number of attempts for doctors isn't the same for HR people. So there are some variety. And I had mentioned a little earlier, John, what you're looking at is a huge aggregate of data. I mean, hundreds of, you know, literally millions of data points here. And so I think these are great numbers to kind of high level guide you, but probably need to think about how these apply in your own business and kind of take these principles and test them. And I think that is the challenge right now, is we got to get a place where we can actually test cadences and sequences. So guys, we're at the 1 o'clock hour. Thank you so much for joining in. Please grab me on LinkedIn, grab this cadence audit. Would love to get you a score back and get you my definitive guide. And with that, remember, success is always just one play away. Have a great day.